Abraham, the father of discipleship. Lesson 9.
They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
An important foundation is being restored today for disciplers. It's Hebraic home fellowships based on living in communal righteousness.
As our Father finished revealing to us in Israel the Hebraic foundations He wanted restored, He gave us a picture of His relational priorities so people could better understand what's being restored.
These relational priorities begin with the center as foremost, Jesus and our Father, and grow less in importance toward the outside of the diagram. Essentially, all other relationships you have in the kingdom flow out of the righteous fellowship you have with our Father and His Son, Jesus.
Then that righteous living flows into the relationships in your home. God purposed among the Hebraic stream for fellowship to take place in people's homes even before the coming of Jesus. They were interconnected with each other as fellowship of homes. This extended spiritual family supported the individuals and the families in living righteously.
You can learn more about the relational priorities of the Restoration Diagram by downloading a free copy of Restoring the Early Church, Section 3, The Early Church Born Again. You'll find the web address at the end of this segment. Fellowship in homes among followers of Jesus was part of the faith practice which had been passed down to them by the Hebraic stream of Judaism.
That's why this personal interaction shows up right after Peter's Pentecost message in Acts chapter 2.
Throughout the Newer Testament, we see followers of Jesus meeting in homes as fellowship families.
The extended spiritual family of a home fellowship purpose to maintain communal righteousness among individuals and families. They wanted their lives to display the power of the Holy Spirit at work in and through them.
The home fellowship was a community of righteous followers of Jesus, people who loved their Lord and one another and lived repentantly. Together, they were conduits of the good news of Jesus, living out a lifestyle of reconciliation with the Father and intimacy in Christ.
Our Hebraic forefathers who first put their trust in Jesus were well aware of the terrible cost of violating God's ways.
The accounts of Korah's rebellion, Achan stealing things devoted to God, and David numbering his troops impacted more than just the guilty party.
Jesus' followers clearly understood from these examples that God held the whole community accountable for one person's sin, whether a family, a clan, or a nation.
Our God sees His family communally in their relational responsibility to each other in Christ. That's why most of the commands in the Newer Testament are given in the plural. Communal responsibility is also why Paul uses the parts of the body as a metaphor for each person needing to use their spiritual gifts to bless the others. And that collective responsibility is why the apostle uses the plural to address their interpersonal responsibility to one another. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
This collective accountability hasn't changed in our Father's sight.
The first followers of Jesus knew their Father wouldn't hear their prayers if one of their fellowship family held on to unconfessed sin.
As extended family in Jesus, they knew each other very well, well enough to know when someone in their midst was sinning.
You may be someone who readily responds to the Spirit and repents when you sin because you're eager to remain in close fellowship with our Father and His Son.
But if you fellowship with people who hold on to unconfessed sin, your prayers will be hindered because you're disobeying the pattern Jesus set regarding unrepentant sinners.
As a result, your Father won't reveal His power and might through you.
Our Father planned for fellowship and homes to be small enough so people can know each other well. That way, through mutual accountability, His children can help each other stay repentant and see Him work mightily in their midst.
How would they recognize if there was unconfessed sin among them? Their prayers would go unanswered.
Our Father's children enjoy testifying about Him as He reveals Himself in His loving power.
The account of Peter's supernatural release from prison is an example of what God can do when the communally righteous gather as family in Christ in one another's homes.
You may be wondering why the whole principle of upholding communal righteousness among faith families has largely disappeared.
Again, the Hellenist church fathers pushed for ecclesiastical control through services in public buildings equipped like pagan temples with pulpits, pews, and steeples.
Professional clergy and religious ritual replace relational intimacy, communal righteousness, and spiritual power.
Church history also discloses another alteration to biblical ways. The Hellenist church fathers introduced the concept that an individual sin didn't affect anyone else who may have known about it but kept silent. That teaching disregarded the collective responsibility for righteousness that's found in a Hebraic understanding and is also revealed in the Newer Testament.
Later, the Reformers continued to emphasize the individual who sinned as though he were closed off from others in his life.
Even today's evangelism methods isolate the individual as an entity unto himself.
They focus on the singular person instead of his whole family or relational sphere, as Paul and his followers did.
It's time to restore the biblical ways which made the early church so relationally intimate and spiritually powerful.